The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Well, Nerd Clan, you know what? This is a small chapter. Welcome back to Blake's Book Club, talking about Midnight Sun, and it's a small chapter, and I figured I got some time. Let's read, and let's chat. So we're talking chapter 20, Midnight Sun, Carlyle. And of course, there is, like I said, no coincidence that we're talking about Carlyle in the last chapter and his beginning story, because in this chapter, it's an immediate follow-up. Now, I definitely do not remember any of this in Twilight, but I'm sure that it was there. And I definitely don't remember it in the movie, though it's been a while since I've seen the film, so I could be wrong in that. Please let me know if I am. Either way, it's good to hear all this stuff about Carlyle. Again, it helps inform that character, who he is, what his relationship is to his state of existence, and how his early stages. And I love the method that Stephanie Meyer uses here with the paintings. Paintings are a very vibrant way to describe something, especially if it's a storybook that Bella could follow. Because paintings are like film, but different. They are snapshots, and they are vibrant in the ways of color and light depth. They are, again, snapshots in time. They represent all of the emotion that is covered in this snapshot. It's really important to have these paintings, and it's a good little tool that Stephanie Meyer uses to give us a visual of the kind of emotions that Carlyle's running through, giving us the exposition without actually having to give us full expository dialogue, though we do have that in the conversations between Edward and Bella. It's not boring because we simply have the visual image of all of these paintings on this wall, each of these paintings, however colored or painted or created, are giving us a mental picture of what that wall looks like, thereby giving us a mental picture of what Carlyle's story is. And we continuing to have more of a baseline relationship with Carlyle and Edward and his relationship with Bella. And we have some more levity in this chapter that's really cute. That, of course, talking about swimming and how everything is easy for them, and they don't have to breathe, and it's more of a habit. But, of course, this is Midnight Sun, so there is no room for total happiness. There has to be some kind of broodiness. And in this chapter, it happens with this. I took a deep breath. I know at some point something I tell you or something you see is going to be too much. And then you'll run away from me, screaming as you go. I tried to smile at her, but I didn't do a very good job. I won't stop you. I want this to happen because I want you to be safe. And yet, I want to be with you. The two desires are impossible to reconcile. It's not supposed to be funny, but it is. It's so Edward, you know, it's like they're sharing this moment and he can't help but have this moment of self-loathing and hatred. And it's so typical. And I get it. I get why Stephanie Meyer wrote it this way. I understand it, but I feel like at this point in their relationship, they should be moving on. Though, I will say this. Most of you have told me that you like stories about Mary and I, and I will tell you this story. I often have dreams about Mary, a recurring dream. The recurring dream is that it goes back to when we were dating or something. There's no real time frame to it because, again, it's a dream, so it's not entirely clear, but we're dating. And Mary and I have this date, and it's incredible. It's world-changing. It is revelatory in the best way. And immediately in the dream that I know that I'm madly in love with Mary. And that's it. I just know that's the end for me. That's where I'm going to be. And I'm completely, utterly, 100% satisfied and satisfied. Did I just say satisfied and satisfied? Yeah, I think it did. I'm just 100% satisfied and complete with Mary at that moment in that dream. And then she says, okay, I'll see you tomorrow. I'll give you a call. And then tomorrow happens and I get a phone call and the voice is Mary and I see Mary. It's her and her being. It's her body. It's her on the outside, but on the inside, I know that it's not, that it's almost like a carbon copy of Mary, that something is off. And while I'm happy, I know something isn't right.